1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before God, night and day, praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end that He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. Well, we have in this chapter a continuation of the thought from chapter 2. In chapter 2, the apostle has been talking about the difficulties of the Thessalonian church. And the difficulties there are basically twofold. One is most particularly on his mind in chapter 2 and here in chapter 3. And that is that the Thessalonians who have come to Jesus Christ, who have been regenerated by the Spirit of God, who have joined themselves and covenanted together in a church association, have formed a church there under the hand of the apostle in the Thessalonian assembly there, or in the city of Thessalonica. That having all of that done, now they have painted, as it were, a bullseye on themselves. And that bullseye comes from the Jews of that day. When Paul was in Thessalonica, there's a record there in the book of Acts of the difficulty that Paul endured from them. But not only him, the Thessalonians also are enduring that kind of affliction. Now, what is the apostle's concern here in chapter 3? It's different from the concern that we might normally have. We might say, oh, you know, I hope that they don't suffer too badly. Oh, I hope that they don't lose their jobs over this. Oh, I hope this and I hope that, all regarding some kind of physical estate or healing or deliverance or something like that. Here's what the apostle says. My concern, Thessalonians, is for your soul. My concern is that the persecution that you're enduring from the Jews will assault you in your soul to the extent that you fall back, you soft pedal, you change the message, you accommodate yourselves to the Jews to avoid persecution, to avoid the difficulties, the what he calls tribulation. The Greek word is thlipsis, means trial, trouble, tribulation, difficulty. And so the apostles' concern here in chapter 3 is for their souls. Well, there are several things that we can draw from that for what the Puritans used to call uses. You know, today we call them applications. The first use is for ministers and elders, church officers, that the great heart of the Apostle Paul for the churches might be our hearts as well. Notice the Apostle Paul says several things here, and his actions speak of his commitment to them as a pastor. The first thing he says is that he sends Timothy there. Now, Timothy was his fellow laborer and his helper, another minister, a fellow minister in the gospel, but also he was an evangelist. He was the Apostle Paul's special officer to send here and there when the apostle himself couldn't get everywhere he wanted to go. So the apostle is in Corinth at this time, and he is ministering there. He cannot leave Corinth. He was there for quite some time, if you recall, through our reading in the book of Acts. So he sends Timothy there, and so he deprives himself of ministry help. Right? Timothy would have been very instrumental had he been able to stay in Corinth with Paul. Paul says, no, it's more important for you to go to Thessalonica. So the Apostle Paul is not afraid of adding to his labors for the sake of the church. The second thing that the Apostle Paul says that he does on their behalf is he prays for them night and day exceedingly. So that's the other thing. The third thing that we see here, which is very clear in this passage, is that he, if you will, if you'll allow the expression, he carries them in his heart. They're constantly on his mind. And so these are in pastoral theology, when men go to seminary and they learn pastoral theology, many times these are the missing elements from pastoral theology. You know, we teach a man how to preach, we teach him how to visit in the homes and so on, but here are those things, the great heart of the Apostle Paul that we can't miss in any good pastoral theology. There is here a great heart manifested on the part of the Apostle. So he cares for them. He cares about the danger that they're in because of the persecution. And so he sends Timothy, he prays for them, he carries them in his heart, and he writes a letter to them. Those four things. Very important for us to understand the pastoral care here of the Apostle Paul. Of course, the application would be to ministers in that sense, or in elders, but for us all, it is to do what? Well, to not put up the hand, to not put up walls with regard to that ministry, right? I mean, many times the pastor comes and he has a great concern for our souls, or the elders come and they have a great concern for our soul, and that concern is not something we want them to address. And so, the walls go up. Talk to the hand. So that's also something that we ought to see here, that not only is pastoral ministry something that is real and heartfelt and palpable in the heart of the Apostle Paul, but it is something that ought to be received by us all. We're all folks under authority. Ministers are under authority. We have our presbyteries and our pastors and our other men in the ministry. We are to minister to one another. We are to be those pastors to pastors that we're supposed to be. Everybody receives ministry, and it should be that we receive it. So then, the second thing I wanted to show you here is that Timothy returns with good news. And when Timothy returns with good news, the Apostle Paul is overjoyed. He's elated. Hearing that word from Thessalonica, the Apostle Paul is greatly encouraged. And so this is another example for us, not only as ministers but as members, all of us. How much care and how much concern do we manifest for others? Forget the manifestation. When you look deep down into your heart, what do you see? When you look deep down into your affections and your loves and your thoughts, what do you see for your brothers and sisters in Christ? What we all ought to see, and we don't see it as we should because we are not perfect. But what we ought to see is we ought to see a particular warmth, a particular care, a particular desire, like the apostle says here, for we live if you stand fast in the Lord. And notice the concern is a particular spiritual concern. Now, we all desire that we would succeed in our callings. We all desire that we would be excellent, and I desire that for you, whatever your calling is. As students, as fathers providing for a family, as mothers working the system in the home and managing and organizing that, all those tough duties, whatever that whatever that calling is. We all desire that we would succeed, not only for ourselves, but we desire for everyone else. But the primary desire we ought to have is that we would be spiritual Christians, that our lives would be defined by growing in grace and growing in knowledge and growing in obedience and growing in sanctification. Notice the apostle says, we live if you succeed in your callings. No. If the church grows to leaps and bounds in numbers. No. We live if ye stand fast in the Lord. This is our hope and our rejoicing. It should be for one another. So the Apostle Paul has the right concern. All right, then in verse 9, there's this thing, that recurring theme in the words of the Apostle. Notice, for what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. Now, this word here, we joy, in our manner of speaking, joy is a noun, it's not a verb. In King James English, joy could be used for a noun or a verb. So what Paul is saying, he says, when we joy, what he means is we rejoice. That's the verb that we use today. And so the thankfulness that the apostle has is that he hears of them standing fast. Now, we have some folks here today that are visitors. Some of those are from sister church. And we desire to hear news about the church down there. And our desire is that we hear that people are growing in grace, they're growing in knowledge, they're growing in sanctification, growing in obedience, they're standing fast in the Lord, and this is the joy and the hope of our rejoicing, and they for us. This is what we're looking for here. This is what the Apostle Paul sets forth as his mind, and it should be our mind as well. Then the Apostle Paul kind of peels back the veil on his pastoral ministry about his prayer life. Notice in verse 11 and 12 and 13, the apostle there, it's kind of a benediction, but it is mostly a prayer for the Thessalonians. Notice that God himself and our Father direct our way to you, number one. He's praying that he might be able to come to Thessalonica to be of service there. Then to make you increase and abound in love toward one another and toward men as we do toward you, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. This is our greatest desire for one another, isn't it? That God would establish our hearts unblameable in holiness before God. All the other things, we have to take a back seat to that. That's our greatest desire. All right, with that then, let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.